Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divi Nation. Divi Nation is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a proud leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. The goal of Divi Nation is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be talking with Dan Carr, a professional photographer out of British Columbia, Canada. Dan's actually our first guest on the show who is not a designer or a developer. In fact, he's an entrepreneur who uses WordPress and Divi to power his business online. When we caught up on Skype recently, he shared his WordPress story and experiences from that perspective, making sure to highlight the most important lessons that he learned as a business owner using WordPress. Here's our conversation. Dan, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hi, Nathan. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on in your world today?
Not too much. Another beautiful day in British Columbia here.
Right. Yeah. You're one of our, I think, maybe second, maybe third Canadian guest.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a Canadian resident, right? You're not actually from Canada.
Exactly right. Yeah. I'm from England originally, and I've been in Canada for 10 or 12 years now. So I have this kind of weird accent that hovers somewhere in between that people can't quite place.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I really was interested in skiing. And so I live just outside Whistler in British Columbia, which is a world famous ski resort. And that was what drew me over here. And I wanted to get into photography of skiers. You know, I wanted to photograph skiing for all the ski magazines and ski brands and things like that. So logical step was to move to the best place in the world, the resort that gets voted number one, you know, year after year for skiing in the world. So uprooted and moved over here.
Wow, that's cool. Well, I'm sure we're going to get into parts of that and a lot more as we dive into your WordPress story in a second. Now, one of the interesting things about this episode is you're actually the first person we've had on the show who's not a WordPress developer or a WordPress designer. You're actually a business owner who uses WordPress to facilitate their business online. So you're kind of fall more in what we call the business owner DIY category, which is really cool because that means that you're going to have a singular, unique perspective on, you know, how you use your WordPress website, what you're looking for in your tools, and how those things help you achieve your business goals. So one of the things I typically ask just at the top of the show is, hey, what's a day in your life look like? And typically it's designers or developers going, well, yeah, this is how I approach my freelance life or my entrepreneur life. But I would love to find out what your day looks like as well, your typical business day, and specifically how your website fits into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I didn't realize I was the first sort of non-developer on here. So that's going to be a great perspective on things. I guess my day is, you know, I am a photographer, but my day is not necessarily typical of all photographers because I don't shoot photos every day because my business has kind of evolved over the 10 years that I've been doing this to take on kind of a mix of both photography and also running some websites, which I use for educating people about photography. So my own blog, and then I have a second website, which I put photography tutorials on. So my day is kind of split between working those two sides of my business, you know, the website stuff, and then also client work for photography, and then just getting out there and taking photos, which I use to illustrate my, you know, how-to photography articles. So a typical day for me is kind of usually try and get out and do some photography during the daylight hours. And then I'm a bit of a night owl. And in the evening, I kind of switch modes and I go into website mode and, I get in there, answer all the comments on the blog, get rid of the spam ones and kind of do all the sort of the maintenance routine on the blogs. And then, you know, start working on some content for it. So it's like a 50-50 split for me between photos and website stuff.
Trust me, as the managing the Elegant Themes blog, I know exactly that. It's just like endless stream of comments all the time, which we love, but it's the spam ones and having to figure out who's actually commenting here and who's just plugging a website or
those comments that are a little too generic. Thanks for the great content.
Well, I know we're going to kind of end your WordPress story talking about, you know, more things along the lines of what exactly you use WordPress and Divi for. But I thought maybe before we get into the nitty gritty details, we could get a bit of context on you and WordPress in general, like how you started to use WordPress and what that's like. So would you mind telling us what your WordPress story is, like when you got involved and how it developed into what you do today?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when I moved over to Canada to start my photography career, I moved into a very niche market, a crowded market as well for this specific, you know, sport of skiing that I wanted to photograph. And this was, you know, about 12 years ago. Websites weren't really a big thing back then. People were still doing the old fashioned thing of handing out business cards, you know. And I quickly realized that I could get a bit of a foot up within the market if I took advantage of, you know, realizing this something that people weren't doing, which was creating a good portfolio website. And so I really focused on initially, you know, I actually bought websites for dummies. You know, that's where I started. I'm not kidding.
That's awesome.
It's actually still on the shelf. I should have bought it.
What's funny is I was just in the bookstore the other day and I was looking at their technology section and I saw WordPress for dummies, websites for dummies. And I started flipping through and I was like, this is actually like, you know, I feel like maybe I'm a little, you know, secretly pretentious or like arrogant because I'm like, I could never buy this because I wouldn't want, you know, to feel like I'm stooping that low. But it's actually some really good info in those books. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so I used that to build my first website, which was a really basic HTML. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a flash slider in the middle that flashed through, you know, slid through about five photos. And then it had my name at the top. And there was like a contact button, which sent you to a contact page. It was basically a two-page website. That was what I got started with. About a year or so into that, I realized I wanted to be able to create more pages easily. And I just didn't have that in me, the time to kind of get really deep into learning, you know, the website coding stuff. And that's when a bit of research led me to WordPress. And what was great about WordPress was just the ability to create new pages. So all of a sudden I can create a specific page for, you know, my portfolio and a contact page and, you know, some, it just, you know, another page just like that. So that's
even
what,
when WordPress was really just still a blogging platform, you immediately were like, I'm in it for the pages. Like I want to create like a website with a portfolio and like, this is a business. It's not a blog for me.
Absolutely. And in fact, I didn't get immediately into the blogging side of things. Mm-hmm. I really just used it just for the speed at which I could create new pages because I had this two-page website and I wanted a little bit more than that. And so I got a basic theme and I got that going. And then I saw all the blogging stuff. I'm like, okay, well, people are using this to blog. So it's there. It's now part of my website. I might as well try it. And I started talking about what I was doing, you know, the trips I was taking around the world to photograph these skiers, and some of the other work that I was doing. And I used it like a blog, you know, was originally intended to be used. And I started to see, I started to see emails coming in where they would start the email with, I found your website, or I saw this on your website. And almost all of them were talking about content that was on my blog rather than the pages.
Yeah. Or your portfolio or whatever.
Yeah. And so that's how people were finding me. And I realized that this is when I started learning about search engine optimization and I got search engine optimization for dummies. But I started to appreciate the SEO benefits of a blog. So then I started taking that more seriously and making that a regular part of my weekly routine, blogging about what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that really sort of helped pick up steam for my website overall. Then the next thing I did was actually, this was back in the day when there was an SEO benefit to having keywords within your URL.
Sure. Yeah.
And what was great about WordPress is that it allowed me to create another website really quickly. So I actually created theskiphotographer.com.
Nice.
I mean, it sounds super cheesy, but this thing jumped right up to the number one spot in Google when you search for ski photography. And that led to a bunch of leads from people like the New York Times, who would have a researcher who needed a ski photo.
Oh, wow.
And they would just go to Google and type ski photography and come right to my site. And for a few years, that was a really great tool. And then, of course, Google started to kind of lower the importance of keywords and URLs because people like me were
kind, kind of hacking the system a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. But you know what? That site, I think in Canada, it still ranks actually number one or number two on that search term.
Oh, wow.
But it was great because WordPress allowed me to create this whole other website so quickly. You know, I just put it up with some basic content and basically another portfolio and threw a few keyworded pages on there. And it did great stuff for me. And these days I've moved away from that because it doesn't have the SEO importance. And now I just have a simple Divi kind of placeholder site up there, which actually directs people to come back to my normal site because it still has a bit of residual traffic. But, you know, at the time it was a super important part of my business as well.
Well, when did you make that transition from the starter theme that you began with and Divi, and what was that transition like?
I mean, from the very first theme, there was a good sort of 6 or 7 years before Divi even came out. So yep. I went through a couple of other themes in the midpoint there. The thing that was starting to get to me is I was, you know, every year taking my online presence more and more seriously. And by this point I'd passed, you know, one of the funny little stories that I tell people when I do some business coaching for photographers as well.
And right.
A lot of people, when they start their photography business, they want to go get their business cards made up. You know, because they think that's a business, right? You have a business card. Now you have a business. And I tell people the story that I still have my first business cards I ever made 10 years ago.
Just sitting in a stack somewhere.
Because you had to get like a minimum of 500 and I still have 400 of them left. But in that same period of time, about 2 million people have been through my portfolio website.
Oh, wow.
So you sort of see, like, for me as a creative with a portfolio, these days my website is the equivalent of my business card, you know. So every year I take it a bit more seriously. And then when Divi first came out, you know, Divi 1.0, at that point what I was struggling with was that when you have a WordPress theme, what I hated was browsing to another website and seeing my theme and being like, my website looks exactly like that guy's website.
Right? Yeah.
And because I'm not a developer, like, I know a good developer can take any theme and, you know, a half day of CSS tweaks and they can make it look pretty bespoke to somebody else.
Yeah.
But that's not me. You know, I'm not a developer. I don't have the skills or the time to learn those skills for that kind of thing. And then Divi came out and I forget exactly how I found it. I was probably already following the Elegant Themes blog for one reason or another, you know, tutorials or something like that. And so I learned about Divi, and what I saw there was the ability to create a site where the pages are really, really customized to my needs, but without needing to know, you know, complex PHP, HTML, like really in-depth CSS stuff. And that's what, you know, immediately made me want to switch to Divi. So then I switched all my sites to Divi at that point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, so once you had Divi in place, you know, what kind of goals were you feel like, or like business goals, were you able to achieve more easily, or maybe for the first time, or was there any?
You know, one of the things that I wanted to create, so I have my personal blog, dancarphotography.com, and then my tutorial website is shuttermuse.com. And on that site, I was at the time, well, still am, really focusing on getting people signed up to my email newsletter. Email marketing stuff is a big deal if you're trying to sell products online, and I sell some training products on that site. So what Divi allowed me to do was to create some really awesome looking landing pages for, like free eBooks that I'm giving away and stuff like that. You know, it still amazes me the kind of stuff that I can create as somebody that has, you know, I feel like I have a pretty good idea on what looks good because I'm a very visual person, but I don't have the developer skills to do something. And yet I can put together a landing page for an eBook, which, you know, performs well. And, you know, that's what Divi allows me to do, is create these pages really nicely.
And you actually recently made the switch on your main site and maybe on Shuttermuse as well from Divi to Extra. Can you kind of tell us a bit about that decision and why that made sense for you?
Yeah. So at the moment I haven't done it on Shuttermuse. It's just Dan Carr Photography, but I'm, you know, potentially moving that way on all of them. So one of the things that, so Extra came out and I followed development of Extra pretty closely on, on the blog there. And I was really interested in the category pages, like the designs that Extra allows you to do with your category pages, because it allows you to basically create kind of your own homepage for every category. And you can really put a totally different design on one category archive versus another. And that's something that really interested me. I felt like with my Dan Carr photography blog, I've got 1,000+ blog posts on there.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't have, there was very little traffic to the old stuff.
Yeah. And that's a lot of content. You don't want to just relegate that to the abyss of the archives, you know, if you can help it.
Absolutely. And so what Extra allows me to do is create these archive pages, which have a lot more functionality than a basic archive page on any theme, but definitely, considerably more than Divi, which is just basically kind of blog style list of your most recent posts. But with Extra, I can take a blog category and I can add my own text blocks in there, so that means I can basically add anything, you know, with a text block. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of put in all kinds of different widgets, basically make a bunch of different homepages. So expanding the use of my old archive blog post was really why I wanted to switch to Extra. And the process was like surprisingly simple. Changing a theme on a blog is like always that it's kind of a scary moment.
Yeah. Right? Well, because all the templates are probably going to be different. The style, the inherent styles are going to be different. If you used, you know, one theme's code, like short codes and another theme, I mean, it can start to get pretty hairy in there.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So I was apprehensive, about doing it, but you know, it was actually totally seamless to go from Divi to Extra. I mean,
that is how it's designed to be. So that's good.
Right.
But it's good to hear that someone with that much content was like, no, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around how, the library modules were going to work, you know, from Divi 2.0, I started using the library stuff pretty intensively. Mm-hmm. Global modules, like I had this big stack of library things and I was like, if I switch to Extra, is my library going to still be the same, you know, or my modules going to still be global where they're supposed to be global and all this kind of stuff. But I literally just had to switch to Extra. I literally just flicked the button and everything worked. The only change that I had to make was on the pages. I had to change the page template to the full width template.
And that is just a drop down within the editor. It's not you don't have to do anything with code or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I just had to open every page and just go to the drop down for the template, select full width. And then that basically mimics the full width Divi style and then hit update. And then that's it. So, you know, 20 pages on my site, that took me about 5 minutes to do that.
Yeah.
And because the front page of my website, isn't the blog, the main blog page, there's essentially most people probably didn't even realize on the outside initially that I actually changed themes because the pages look the same. I have these big full width images.
Right.
I've got a lot of parallax scrolling images and all these kinds of things. And that front page, it looks exactly the same as it did in Divi. Slight styling change in the menu. But that's really the only indication.
You have the trending bar on your other pages now, but you just disabled that, I'm assuming, on your homepage.
Yeah, I just disabled it on the homepage. I really liked the initial look of my Divi homepage.
Yeah.
And so I just mimicked it by just disabling that top menu bar on the front page, but it will appear on every other page. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And I actually did that using another one thing that you guys added. I don't think it was in 2.0. I think it was a bit later than that, but you added the ability to add CSS to individual pages.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's really cool. Like, I've started to learn a little bit about CSS and normally I would do it globally, but disabling that top menu, I just did using
on that
the very,
page, yeah.
on that one page in the localized CSS box there. So
which is
super easy.
Which is awesome. Cause it's like, you know, one of the things I really love about, and maybe I should cover this more in some Divi quick tips, cause I'm not sure, everybody is, quite familiar with how easy it is to use the custom CSS tab within Divi Builder. But like one of the things I love is just when you click in there, one of the hard things for beginners to do when it comes to CSS is to find the the correct selector and to know exactly what they're going to be editing. So it's pretty easy to go, oh, I want the background to be like background, and then here's my hex code or whatever, you know. But it's finding the exact selector. So when you click within each custom CSS box, it actually shows the selector in bright orange right next to the box title. So you know exactly what you're editing right there. And I don't know, I think that's one of the cool things for people who are kind of like DIYing it up, which I do. So because I'm not a developer either. So it's really cool.
Definitely. Yeah.
So one of the things I want to do is make sure, since, as we talked about earlier, since you are the first sort of like DIY business owner we've had on the show, I want to make sure that we take some time to highlight the lessons that you've learned building your website with WordPress and Divi and with Extra, and and make sure that we communicate those lessons to people who might want to do the same thing that you've done. So my first question along those lines are there any specific lessons or pieces of advice that you have to someone who is an entrepreneur looking to create their own website with WordPress?
Yeah, I mean, there's one big one for me, which was like a real game changer. And I kind of learned about this at the same point that I transitioned into using Divi. And that's about using child themes to make modifications.
Yes.
because, you know, obviously you can do all the page designs in Divi and Extra using the Divi builder, but there's always going to be little tweaks you want to make, you know, change the color of the header of a widget or, you know, little things like that. And I'd kind of figured out that CSS was how you do that in the previous years, but I'd messed around with it in the wrong places. And then if you don't, you know, if you change it in the theme itself, then obviously when the theme updates, then you lose all those changes. And, so learning about a child theme and what that is, what that does for you, what the benefit of that is, like the number one thing for me is somebody that is just kind of hovering that line between like beginner and intermediate, you know, kind of WordPress user, and somebody that wants to do it themselves without sort of formal training and all this in this stuff. So the benefit of a child theme, for those that don't know, is that you can basically make the CSS changes or even the changes to PHP stuff, but have it sitting, you know, alongside the theme. So when you guys update Extra and Divi, it doesn't mess around with my changes.
Doesn't wipe your site clean of all customization.
Yeah. So it also means that if you mess something up when you're doing it,
you're not messing with,
you can really easily just be like, oh, and then back up and just activate the Divi theme on its own. And then at least you're like, okay, take a breather. I screwed something up, but it's good. I'm back to a good starting point. So
it really, it really is sort of just like a safe space for you to experiment in. And like you said, you know, worst comes to worst, you can just delete the child theme and then you're back to, obviously you probably don't want to do that every time, but you know, if literally the worst happens, then that's always an option and you haven't actually messed your site up. Speaking of safe spaces, I think you also had mentioned to me, how important, you know, like staging sites were. Do you want to talk to that point a little bit?
Yeah. So that was my next step forwards after learning what a child theme was and kind of starting to build my own child theme for my site with a few basic kind of CSS adjustments. I did get stuff wrong sometimes when I would mess around with the PHP files. And so then I started to look into, what a staging site is. And you know, I'd read, probably on your blog that, you know, you don't really want to mess with the live site because, you know, especially, when I added a store to Shuttermuse and I had online sales coming in, I didn't want my site to go down at any point. So at that point I started to become a lot more aware of, you know, the uptime on my site. And so I looked at creating a staging site so I could really take a copy of my site, that wasn't live. It was just, you know, hosted on my computer, and do all the CSS and stuff like that, and then transfer that over to the main site once I knew I'd got it working. So there's a couple of ways to do that. You mentioned a great plugin to me, which I've totally forgotten the name.
It's a desktop server. I mean, a lot of people use Xamp or the Windows. I think Xamp is also available for Windows. And I've used that before. It's really great. It's really simple to use, but I found that, you know, even more seamless or even more, you know, easy startup was desktop server. And it's free. But if you want to do some more advanced stuff, such as migrating directly from your locally hosted site to a live site that's on a public server or a shared hosting environment, or even a WP engine, which is like a managed hosting environment, that costs a little extra. But if you just want to have demo sites or a version of your site on your local machine, it's completely free. You can get started in like a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're awesome. I don't need, personally, I don't need to have like all 1,000 of my blog posts. You know, I don't need the full database.
Right.
I just need, you know, a small sampling to populate like a blog page. And it's for me, it's mainly just kind of CSS tweaks and a couple of small other things that I'm testing out. And yeah, it's amazing to know that I've got, everything is just local there, and it's not, you know, if I do something wrong, it's not going to be affecting anything that's on the live website.
And even in a more minor sense, like no one's going to see your experiments, you know, when they're, you know, like, cause it's, you know, you maybe you want to like play around with stuff or like make a change and come back to it the next day and see how you like it. You know, like you don't have to expose those little experiments to the world. It can just be like, this is, I'll show the world when it's ready. Basically. I think that's one of the cool things.
And I used it heavily when I switched from Divi to Extra, because I had these, you know, I just wasn't sure how this was going to go. So I did the switch first on a local version of my site, just to see, you know, how those library modules were going to work, what's the page design is going to look like. And you know, there wasn't any problems in the end, but it just gave me a bit of peace of mind to know that I'd already tried it out on a local site there.
And how did you end up migrating those changes? Or did you just kind of redo the whole process on your live site?
I redid the whole process. I know that there are ways to push stuff live from a local site. It just happens that that's kind of where my knowledge runs out. You know,
I'm
sure there are lots of developers watching this going, oh, you just do this. But to me, that that's where it ran out. And because I was creating these child themes to put my edits in, it was fairly trivial to take my child theme and just on the live site, switch to Extra and then enable the child theme. So, you know, it wasn't a big deal.
For anyone who's listening and is like, oh, I don't want to redo all my settings and whatever. What you can do is as of Divi 2.7, we now make it possible for you to export your theme settings. So whatever settings you end up really loving on your local site, you can just export those. And then when you make your theme switch on your live site, you can just import those settings and everything's there. So that's another option as well.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have done a great job with the export stuff recently. Another awesome feature, which I've made use of just this week, is the new ability to export a whole page design, but include the photos within that file.
Yes.
So I did some new page designs in the Divi Builder on one website to create a resources page, which has basically links to all the services that I use to run my photography business, stuff like my favorite plugins for photographers for WordPress and a bunch of business tools specific to photographers and photo editing software, stuff like that. But I wanted to have that same page on both websites because it's pretty, you know, I recommend the same stuff to both sets of my followers. And with the new page export thing, it's just one file. You know, I just go to the page, I export that and it downloads one simple file that has all the images and everything. And so moving one page to another site now is a matter of, you know, 60 seconds of work. So that's really
cool. As opposed to, you know, completely redoing the design especially you mentioned earlier that those sites are actually running two different themes. So that's probably, you know, cause it's Divi and Extra. So within the Divi Builder family, it actually saves you crazy amounts of time, considering if you were to go from one theme to another, you'd probably have to use totally different techniques to get the same thing, unless you were completely coding it from scratch, in which case.
Absolutely. It's just another time saver for me. And that's what I've found has been great with the builder in general, is just all these different ways I can save time. That same page, which is, you know, just my resources page, has, I don't know, about 40 buttons on there. I make use of the CTA module in the Divi Builder to link out to all these different services and editors and stuff like that. And so there's about 40 different buttons on there. But there, what I did was design a global button style and save that into my library as a global style. And then I use that little trick where you don't have to save all the settings for the global module. So I just omitted the general settings, so I can change the text on the buttons on each individual one. But if I want to change the style of the buttons, I can just change the style of one of the buttons, and it, you know, it's a global CTA button, a global module, and it just populates that change across all 40 buttons on the site on the, on that one page. So again, it's just a, it's another, for me, where I just want to get in and get out as quickly as possible, but create really cool looking stuff. That's time savers.
Awesome. Well, one thing I want to know is to learn these things, to learn, you know, how to create child themes, how to set up a local dev site, migration, all these different things that are kind of like, you know, what you're calling kind of your milestone lessons or your kind of like light bulb moments where he's like, oh, now that I know how to do this, everything's better.
Yeah.
Where should people go to learn that stuff?
I mean, your blog, like that's where, for the last couple of years, you guys have just been, putting out so much content on the blog. I mean, daily posts that are all super in depth, and there's great tutorials on there for the child theme stuff. Actually recently you guys just did a post about, using, local sites, I think, to do your development work. So it's such a great resource. I mean, that's, if you Google anything WordPress related these days, it pops right up to the top, you know, result number one or number two is the Elegant Themes blog these days. So that's a great resource. And then, the other thing that I use is the support forum. You guys have a great forum there. I mean, these guys, that help out in that forum have done, so much, for me in the last couple of years since I started using Divi. Whenever I give it my best shot. Like I don't like to jump in there and say, help, I can't do this. You know, first of all, I'll give it a shot. And then if I run, you know, I get 90% of the way there and something's not quite working, then I jump in the forum there, and your guys always help me out without fail, you know, figure out my CSS mess or, you know, help with this little thing. And I'm working on another project at the moment, which isn't public at the moment. So we can't really show that particular one, but, you know, I had a bit of an idea for extra, something that I wanted to do, and I jumped in the support forum, and those guys helped me out. They actually, created this new feature, which, you know, they've now added to the extra timeline that's going to be, you know, developed into a feature of extra eventually.
Oh, wow.
But they developed that, you know, PHP, for me and sent that to me to use on this new project. And I guess eventually that little feature will be part of extra itself. So it's like, I like it because they help me out, but they're also really awesome at taking feedback from users and kind of pushing that stuff into the development of the themes, I feel, as well. So yeah, the support forum has been really invaluable for me.
Wow. Well, I know that's good to hear on my end, and I know they'll love to hear that as well, but that's really cool. I mean, I know since I've been working on the blog and since I started managing it, my goal has been to try to find ways to make the blog feel sort of like an extension of your membership. Like our community's membership. So like basically if they're, you know, whatever problems that come up in the daily, you know, challenges of creating your own website, like we want to try to solve it. So it's awesome to hear that that's actually happening.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we've kind of covered quite a bit of ground, and I don't want to extend things too long because I want people to feel like they can kind of knock this interview out in a single sitting. So I like to kind of close things on a final thought. And if there was maybe like a summary recap or just one thing that we talked about that you really want to highlight for people coming away from this interview, what would that be?
I think for me, Mike, the main thing that I want to get across to people is that WordPress doesn't have to be scary. You know, if you're not a developer, it doesn't have to be scary to create a bespoke web page for your business. You don't have to have a WordPress site with a theme that looks exactly like every other person that's using that same theme. And to get from, you know, switching on Divi at that point where you enable that theme to a website that is very much your own website with your own page design, you don't have to be a developer to do that. You know, there's definitely some things that developers can do that I can't, but I like to think that I've been able to create something that's pretty cool with, you know, minimal knowledge on the subject. You know, so that's it. WordPress doesn't have to be scary, and you know, you can create a website that is your own using these kind of themes. Yeah.
Fantastic. That sounds like an awesome end note for the episode. Dan, thank you so much for coming on Divi Nation.
You're welcome. That was fun.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Dan Carr, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the stuff that we talked about in this episode, feel free to leave those questions in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. Now, I've made sure that Dan is aware that the episode's gone live, and I'm sure he'll be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community. And as always, I will be back next week with another episode of Divination.